Okay. I have a few over here. Do you have any over there?
No.
Okay. Pray for the family going to court today. God's favor in the courtroom, and the kids will be able to come home traveling mercies.
Yeah.
And then pray for the family of Sharon Youngblood, who has gone to her heavenly father. Mm. Her service is this morning at First Baptist Church in Cheyenne.
Sharon Youngblood's family and the family going to court. Amen. Well, everybody join with me, and let's pray together and use your faith, and let's believe God. Father, we just come now for this family. We're thankful that you know all things. Lord, you have all things in your control, Lord Jesus. And I just bring this to you, and we ask for mercy and grace to help in time of need. I pray, Lord, that you will shelter this family, that you, O God, will let the anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon them, that you will touch the judge or the jury or whoever it is, Lord, that makes these important decisions, that you, O God, will have mercy on the children, and you will work things out to their good and your glory, that you, Lord Jesus, will just be there to speak in the whole situation, and we just ask, God, that it will turn, Lord, to their favor, to the favor of this family, and you will be glorified and honored, and they will be justified, and they will be not only forgiven of their sins, as you tell us that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just, and not that they sin. It's just that the situation is so hard, God. We ask for mercy and grace, and we ask for victory in it, oh God, and they will know that you're guiding them and leading them in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, I pray, Lord, for the family of Sharon Youngblood. Lord, I just pray today that you'll be present in that funeral, that you will anoint the pastor, whoever's speaking, Lord, to say words that are going to be comforting and helpful, God, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be there, that you will lift the saddened hearts. Lord, if there's any in that family who don't know you, that this will be an opportunity, Lord, for them to turn to you and to love you and to serve you. We ask for mercy and grace upon them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty. Wait a minute. 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey, y'all. She'll bless your shoes and socks off. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy. And you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you. They protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Sister Judy Gifford Parker.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And her title is Sharing is Caring.
Yeah, sharing is caring. Well, some other things I'm going to share with you, looking through my book of notes, Helpful Hints for Christians. One is to be sure and have a Bible.
Yes.
And read it every day. Mark passages that minister to you. Claim the promises you need and the ones that fill your particular situation. It says promise books can be obtained at Mardell, so there's that just give, you know, subjects and then promises, and those are wonderful to have. Write your name in your Bible as scriptures you want to claim. So that's what I did when I wanted healing for my sons. I'd claim healing scriptures, and I'd just write their name on the side. And I don't think it's irreverent to mark in your Bible. So if you have a Bible you want to keep, you don't mark in, but get you one you can mark in. And it will just help you. And then you can just go through and look at different things that God has ministered to you, and it will re-bless you all over again. It says, buy a pocket-sized Bible to carry with you, or keep a copy in your car. Or you can write scriptures down on cards and keep them in. Paste them on your mirror, not paste them, but tape them on your mirror at home, on your refrigerator. Like, keep your mouth shut and you won't get fat. No. That was my scripture. I made that up.
Now that we've got the apps that go with us on our phones, too.
Yeah, you got your phone now, and you can take your Bible with you and sit and read in the car waiting in line for your kids. You know, there's lots of ways. Make time. That'll be the thing that the devil tries to steal from you, is your prayer time and your Bible reading, because those are the two stays. Those are like legs to your body that hold you up. And then copy verses that help you on cards. I just said that. Put them in refrigerator mirrors. And then set aside the same time each day for prayer. I found that that's a good thing to do, but really, you pray continually. And you can pray all day. Pray in your car. Pray here. Just keep a constant flow
as
of the Holy Spirit with you.
People come to my mind.
Or, yeah. And keep praying. That's good. Choose a special spot in your home. Sometimes people do that. And one, remember the war room? She cleaned out her big closet, like something about this size, you know, and got in there and cleaned it out just for praying. And I love how that movie turned out. While she was praying, her husband was trying to have a night out on her with someone else, and while she's praying, he got diarrhea and throwing up and sick, and the date was over and nothing happened. And he did confess to her later, and God mended, and then he even rubbed her feet. Remember that? It's so cute. She's always wanting him to rub her feet through that movie, and he wouldn't have nothing to do with rubbing her feet, and besides that, everybody said her feet stunk, you know, and at the end, oh, he's rubbing his wife's feet, you know, and I'm like, it's cute. It's a cute ending. But set aside a time to pray. Always remember, God is no respecter of persons. So call on him even for the small problems. And nothing's too small, nothing's too big for our God. Then here's ways to defeat Satan. I opened this, and this is one of my sermons that I had preached before. And it says, I surrender totally to Jesus, to God. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. So sometimes we need to realize we're double-minded. If we're, and we need to ask God to cleanse that out and say, you know what? I'm putting one of these things down. I can't serve God and Satan. I got to make up my mind. I'm selling out to God. It's a sell out to God. Lay your all on the altar. Repent of sin. Turn away from sin. Just stop sinning. Just stop it. And determine not to sin again, so you won't have to do your first works over and over. The scripture even says, go on into righteousness. Get mature. Quit having to go back and repent, repent, repent. Well, you better repent if you sin. But in other words, he's saying, quit sinning and grow. Grow in the Lord. Stop doing some of that stuff you're doing. If it's wrong, then I know God forgive you every time you ask. But after a while, you're needing to go on to maturity. Forgive others, and that's a big one. Forgiving others. And sometimes we've been hurt so deeply that we feel like we have a right and we deserve to hold that against them. And they deserve for us to hold it against them. But the thing of it is, it's like putting a gun to our own head. It's like shooting our own foot. when we hold, when we're holding a grudge against somebody, they don't know it, or they don't care, one or the other, or either or, and it's not affecting them at all. Mm-mm. So all it's affecting us and clouding up our victories, clouding up our joy, clouding up our, and it may, sometimes somebody can make you angry like that in a snap. Because we're holding something. We're carrying it around. And we're already weighted down. It can even be a stranger at a traffic light. But they trigger something because you're already weighted down. And instead of sitting there singing the joy of the Lord, you're worried about something. And then they do something. And you're like, if you're not careful, some people will flip them off. Or they'll, you know what I mean? They'll start doing something. One was cute. We were in the car with an evangelist. And a guy literally pushed Thilbert, a trucker literally pushed Thilbert over on that extra piece of... and it was a good thing there was an extra piece there, because that guy, and the evangelist, we were taking him to the airport, and he yelled at that driver. It's so frustrating. It was a pretty hairy situation, and he yelled, "Idiot!" at that guy. And then when he realized what he had done, he's like, "Oh, you guys, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I am embarrassed at myself. I am so sorry. And my husband goes, "Well, it's okay. When my wife drives, the idiots come out too." And when he said that, the gentleman turned to me and scolded me. And he said, "You have to be careful with that. Calling someone an idiot is akin to calling them a fool. And the Bible says if you call a person a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. You ought to watch that, sister." And I'm like, "I didn't do nothing." I was just sitting there. And I got in trouble. I got scolded. But anyway, we do need to watch the little things sometimes, you know, and pray it out. Okay. Look for Jesus to come. Expect his return. Keep your eyes on the eastern skies. Jesus is coming from the east. John 3:3. If the Bible says, "He that hath this hope in him of Jesus coming keeps himself pure even as he is pure." When we have that hope in our heart, we know, it might be today. It could be today. And we have that expectation instead of being there with our eyes always down. If we're looking up going, it could be today. Today could be the day Jesus comes. We're like, "Oh, yeah." Well, then this the song says, "What if this could be the day that Jesus comes? The day that we've been waiting for so long. We'd have so little time to get our lost world won. If this would be the day that Jesus comes." You know what? We need to keep that in our mind. Today could be the day. Amen. Because it helps us say, keep my heart right. I don't know if I've ever told you how Thilbert used to give me rapture ready moments. And we'd be walking in Lowe's, and I'm in front of him. I'm pushing a cart. He's walking behind me. And I think we're in conversation, but I'm the one talking. And then I have no answer. And so I turn around and he is gone. So the first thing I think of is, did Jesus come? Because he just snatched away, you know. And then I'm like, "Oh, Jesus." You know, and I'm saying, yeah, I still feel you here. Okay, you surely didn't come. And I go up front. And there he is. He darted down another aisle and went up another way, you know. So he gave me rapture-ready moments all the time. And one time it was so cute. We were getting ready to leave the house. He was waiting for me to finish combing my hair, whatever I was doing. I finish. I head out. I said, he wasn't in the living room. All the lights were off. So I thought, he's in the garage. Open the door to the garage. It's dark. He's not even in the car. And I'm going, where in the world is he? I look out back. He's not out back. I look out front. He's not out front. And I'm going, well, did Jesus come? I always think of that first because I've been raised in church. And leave me? And so I go get my keys and go, well, I'm going to look or drive around the house, and then I'm going to Brent's. I said, Brent's still here. You know, he's the preacher. He's supposed to be here. And so I got in the car, backed it out, went around, and look, he wasn't in the backyard. Went around, clear around my property. I have a pavement all the way around for the trash trucks, you know. And so I go around. He's not behind the garage. He's not. I even opened the door and looked in the garage, the back garage. He wasn't there. I got back in the car, went back around, and go to my front driveway again. And there, the garage door's up, and he's standing there going, like, where are you? Where have you been? And I looked at him and go, where have you been? And he said, Well, I got to thinking about those little Indian blankets over in that lot over by us, and I wanted to water them. And so somehow we had just missed each other all the way around. He had gone to water those, and then he'd gone in the garage when I'm looking for him, and then I'm here, and he went in the house, and I'm around behind the garage, and we finally came to find each other standing in the driveway, and we're both aggravated because we couldn't find the other one, you know. And I'm going, well, Aaron's starting to do the same thing. He gives me rapture-ready moments. He just steps out, and he's gone. And I'm like, where'd he go? Oh, he's out by the tree. I had tried to train Thelbert to tell me when you're leaving, so I don't think Jesus has come and left me again today. And anyway, I'm trying
that,
to train
that training
Aaron.
Never sticks, though, does it? My husband does that stuff, too. We went to Dragon, Maine, and we'll get separated. And like his aunt said, have you seen your husband lately? He's looking for you. I said, no. But my best bet is just to stay still in one spot because he'll eventually circle back around and find me.
Yeah. Anyway, and so in stores, usually we stay together. Thelbert and I get separated. One time we went without cell phones accidentally to Walmart, and we got separated. He said, we're never doing that again. I've walked this store three times looking for you. Okay, let me finish this, and then we'll be done. It says, I told you, for every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And then love God, love your brethren, you will overcome. Don't believe the devil's lies. Remember, Jesus too was tempted. What did he do? He used the word of God. What were his temptations? And we know that he was going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. But he was going to have to go through a whole lot. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to give his life and suffer and bleed and die. And the enemy tried to get him to short circuit that and say, I'll give you all the world. I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the world. The thing of it is, the devil didn't belong to the devil. And he's a liar. And if he says he'll give you something, well, you can mark it down. He's using it as a temptation. He ain't going to give it to you. Anything I've ever bid on, any little thing I've ever bid on, and not know that it's the enemy, he never fulfills his word. Because the Bible says he is not just a liar, he's the father of all mm-hmm. lies. So he'll make up anything. He will tell you anything he has to tell you to knock you off. So remember, in the last days, there will be seducing spirits. What was the devil trying to do to Jesus? Seduce him. He was trying to seduce him with riches and honor and glory and everything. He's trying to seduce him. And Jesus just went to the word every time that any temptation came. He was trying to really, on the pinnacle of the temple, when he took Jesus up to the pinnacle, jump off. Doesn't it say in Psalms 91 that he didn't say Psalms 91. But don't it say in the word that it is Psalms 91 mm-hmm. that he will keep your foot and you won't even dash your foot against a stone? Jesus came back with the word, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And what would have happened if Jesus had jumped off? If Jesus had listened and jumped off? I heard someone say it this way. He was trying to cause Jesus to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And then what else did he do? He comes to him, and then that didn't work. The first thing didn't work. Well, aren't you hungry? The enemy will always come. He will never come in your strong point. He'll come in your weakness. Mm-hmm. He will come when you are the weakest and the neediest, and that'll be the thing he throws at you to do it, to satisfy your need his way. Because if you do it his way, he's got you. Mm-hmm. He's got you. But if you say, no, God will supply my need, why do people steal? People steal because they want something and they don't think God's going to supply it. They don't trust God. The Bible says in Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So why would somebody steal something if God's going to give it to them? Well, if you delight in Jesus, you'll get it. Why do people not pay their tithe? They don't pay their tithe. So they get the devil stealing money out of their pocket. It's like they're putting money in pockets with holes in it because they're not paying their tithe. Remedy for everything. If you're in financial need, give something away. Mm-hmm. Give something away. The Bible says if you give, then it will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give to your bosom. God will orchestrate it, but he will find out what every need, from financial to spiritual to physical, and I'm in physical need right now, but I think I'm alive and sitting here and talking right now because God's touched me at strategic times, and I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. And I know it's God's keeping power, that he's keeping me and protecting me, and I'm still alive, even with the prognosis and diagnosis that I have. God is keeping me, and he'll keep me here until he's ready to take me home and let me serve him. So anyway, to God be the glory. And today it's been this and that and the other, but sharing is caring, so we're just sharing with you today what you can do to win and be an overcomer. And Jesus loves you no matter what you're facing, no matter what you've done. Just seek him. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on you, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to read Psalms 23 out of the Passion's translation, y'all.
Okay.
So this is the translation. I've read through it once, and this is my second time, and I just love the Word of God.
Yeah.
Psalms 23, the Good Shepherd. David's poetic praise to God. Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. He tracks me down. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace near the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the right path and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness, so that I can bring honor to his name. Even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fears. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can to drink of you until my cup overflows. So why would I fear the future? Only goodness and tender love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
I like that version.
Nothing like God's word. Mm-hmm. Isn't it a good feeling to when you... your stuff is troubling you, and you open God's word, and it just speaks directly mm-hmm. to you, because it's alive.
It is.
Yes.
And it speaks directly to what, and you're going, oh, okay, this is the way. I can walk in it.
And you read, and you also read Psalms 1.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to read that in the Passions, too.
Okay.
It's like, I really like the Passions translation, y'all.
Yeah, okay.
Psalms 1, the heading on it says, the tree of life.
Okay.
What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways. He won't walk in the step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am. meditating day and night on the true revelation light of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. But how different are the wicked? They are like chaff blown away by the wind. The wicked will not endure the day of judgment, for God will not defend them. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for long, for they have no part with those who walk in truth. But how different is it for the righteous? The Lord embraces their paths as they move forward, while the way of the wicked leads only to doom. I encourage you today, for me, I choose power and boom over the gloom and doom.
Mm-hmm.
You choose power and
boom.
Boom.
Boom. Excitement.
Yes. Over gloom and doom.
Amen. And so what we choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, thank you for coming and sharing your caring verses. That made me think of the Care Bears. We'll just stand the around and do the Care Bear stare. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our sweet sister, Judy Gifford Parker. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.